Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has within paradise, inside paradise. For the people of paradise, He has given different maqam, different levels, different rewards, and the things that Allah Ta'ala has made in paradise, the places that Allah Ta'ala has made. We have received some hints and direction. We don't know the reality, and we cannot imagine the reality of what is paradise and what great rewards Allah Ta'ala has set aside for the people of paradise. And this, alhamdulillah, let's do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we go into paradise, we can see these things with our eyes. Ameen. May Allah Ta'ala send us all into paradise. Ameen. And a special thing that Allah Ta'ala has prepared in paradise, which has come to us, which has been communicated, that there are some special arwah, some special ruh, souls, that for them Allah Ta'ala hasn't constructed like big palaces or mansions or houses. Rather, for those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created such qandil, such, you can say, illuminated lanterns, big illuminated lanterns, lamps that are hanging from the heavens, from the skies. And those ruh, those souls live in those qandils, in those big illuminated houses or lanterns. Can you imagine that all day long they are free in paradise and they roam around and float around in paradise wherever they want to go, in Firdaus and Adan. Alhamdulillah, they have total freedom. Go where you want. And after traveling and floating around in their homes, when it's evening in paradise, because there's no night and day there, we don't know how Allah Ta'ala will prepare for the people of paradise. What sort of sun will there be? What sort of light there will be? So they come back after floating around, traveling, they go back to their qandils, and then in the night they spend the evening, the night, whatever that is, in their qandils, in their lanterns, say subhanallah, subhanallah. What unique Allah Ta'ala status Allah has kept for those ruh, for those people. What will be the reward? So the elders in Islam have stated, the pious predecessors have said, that the taste of this Allah Ta'ala has also kept in the world. And the example of that, the direct example of that reward, which we've just discussed in paradise, in this world, is that some people from the creation of Allah, there are some human beings who after the whole day working, making effort, earning, and they live in the world, and as soon as evening comes, and as soon as the dusk comes, and as soon as the sun sets, those ruh, they come back towards where? Not their homes, rather to which direction? Towards the gatherings of dhikr, of remembrance of Allah, subhanallah. And it's exactly the same example like those, that those people in paradise, the souls, when they go and spend the night in their big illuminated lanterns and lamps, the same way those human beings in this world who make a habit in the life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to their habit, Allah ta'ala gives them the majalis, the gatherings, and as they're tired from their work, the dunya, they soon as they go and sit down in their lamp of dhikr, then Allah Ta'ala revives their ruh and their soul. So this, in the heavens, this happens, alhamdulillah, the gatherings of the majalis of dhikr. Because this taste Allah Ta'ala gives for all ibadat. And the reality here is that Allah Ta'ala shows a little bit of a hint, a little bit of a jalak, that look, this is the taste of people on earth, and this is what you will get in the hereafter. The dhakirin, what will they see? They will see the genuine lanterns, their homes in the hereafter. And it's not like that those lanterns that are glowing in the heavens in paradise, that they don't glow or glitter in the world. They do. They do. They're very full of light and nur. And you see some people, they're sat down, but such they glow, these places, the dhikr, the gathering, the majlis of dhikr, it's like an illuminated lantern. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, the sahaba ikram was sat, and he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated that what I can hear, you cannot hear. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, obviously this is the case, that whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could see, and he knew what the realities and genuine things, and we don't know that the reality compared to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his link and connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not the same as is with other people that come. But look at the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This itself is a proof, is unique. Hazrat Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha narrated, stated that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, she saw many things unique, amazing. ajeeb and beautiful and amazing things that are mentioned in the hadith. And they're in the seerah. If you read the books of seerah, you will see these things. And Hazrat Amina radiallahu anha said that such a light came, such a light emanated, that the palaces of Sham, they were visible. The palaces in Syria, they were visible on the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And such events took place at the time, at the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, suddenly a cloud came, and the cloud gathered around, and it gathered around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lost in that cloud. And she said, I was shocked. Where's my son gone? Where's my child gone? She said, I was a bit distressed. And then a voice came from the cloud, from the clouds, that this child, take this child and take him to every corner of the world, every place in the world, and introduce him to everything in the world, and tell every form of my creation that this child is my mahbub, he's my beloved. And all of the anbiya, the prophets from the beginning to the end, all of the prophets that came, all of them in the akhlaq, instill the portion of the akhlaq of this child and introduce him to the whole of the universe. And she said, I heard this voice, this announcement. Then he disappeared. And after some time, that cloud, it removed, it went back. And she saw that Rasulullah SAW was in his like cradle or cot, and there were droplets of water falling off him. And this was the haqiqah, the reality of the Prophet ﷺ. And you see in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that what I hear, you cannot hear. What I've seen, you cannot see. Where I have gone or I can go, you cannot go. And this was the reality. As Amina radiallahu anha stated, that another event, that in the night I used to see when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his bed, in his cradle, that it was like other children. He wasn't like other children who would cry or screech. And she said, I saw a ajeeb scene, beautiful scene, that it's the moon on the 14th night, and the moon, full moon is out, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a small child. With his finger, wherever he would move his blessed finger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the moon would move. And this was the toy, you could say, the game, the toy, that wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi would move his finger and point, the moon would move to that position, the angle of the moon. And just like, you know, a father or a child plays with his toy, and you give toys to the children. So Rasulullah had the moon as the toy. So this was his great personality and his status. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sallam. His being, his personality, his status, his greatness. I just like I recited durood, and you can't see the durood, the weight, the form of the durood. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected one angel and given this angel a duty to gather the durood, to collect the durood. And it's such an angel that as soon as anybody recites durood shri from the tongue, this angel takes that durood. Takes the Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. Suddenly, straight away, the Prophet said that the angel takes this durood. And we don't even know the system. Don't follow system and logic. What can happen? Just look at the words. That if you try to use your aql, then our aql is limited. Our understanding is limited. So we should feel that how the ummah of Rasulullah ﷺ, we have been inserted into his ummah, we can understand the status and the greatness of the Prophet ﷺ. As Aisha radiallahu anha couldn't understand his greatness, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha couldn't understand the greatness of Rasulullah ﷺ. No Sahabi understood. So how can we understand his greatness? So it's no point going into this depth and debates of what was his state, etc. But look at the hadith, that we get the rewards and feel the enjoyment and the taste. So there's one angel, he looks out for the people when they recite one durood. If you recite one durood, then what does that durood become? The angel takes that durood, the salams, etc. you've just sent, and he presents it to the Prophet ﷺ and says that, O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, this person, Ibn, this person has sent you durood. So your name and your father's name is delivered to that majlis, that gathering of the Prophet ﷺ. Imagine that gathering and how it's presented. This is beyond our understanding. But look at this point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for his Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam created such an baland and great status, that if a person sends one durood to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that same person is elevated, that his name is mentioned in that gathering. So imagine how great is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we do and follow the sunnah and do amal on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such a great personality, will it be a waste of time? Of course it won't. It will be great benefit. So what are we afraid of? Why don't we practice? The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, imitate me, follow me. You don't know that what you will get on imitating and following me. You cannot understand, you cannot imagine that what I am. How great I am. You don't know. This is how great Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our Nabi is. Born great. All of the foster mothers came to collect the children, to take them away to the villages. Nobody would go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, oh, he's yatim and orphan. How will we get paid? There's no money. But Hazrat Halima understood, radiallahu anha, that she came from her village. She was poor and she was on a mule, and it was just very, you could say, fragile and old. Just the bones and not much flesh. And even her husband was sat on the mule with Hazrat Halima, and everyone had gone off. And she said, okay. They'd left. Now let's take this child ourselves. And what a selection. As soon as she saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, I became a lover. She said, ah, such a child. All the other da'is, they've left this child, beautiful child. She said, I swear by Allah, that in this child, forget about money, even if I don't get any profit, I would never leave this child. I would take this child. And I called out to my husband. When he came, he said, he understood and agreed. She said that when we saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I saw that from his forehead such a nur, a light emanated that went to the heavens, the skies. Obviously Allah ta'ala had showed them something, that this is the child that you will bring up, that you will nourish and give the energy to. She said, when I picked up the child, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then suddenly my emotions changed, our feelings changed, our condition changed. She said, our transportation, our mule, our animal, it was weak, so weak. She said, as soon as we sat on the animal, so much energy came into the, and it was like a camel. And she said that the udders filled with the milk. And for so long we had not drank any milk, we had not eaten, we didn't have any food. She said that our transport took us. And as she started to move, she went ahead of everything else, ahead of everything else. And this was the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So on the Day of Judgment, whoever in this world took the guidance and the direction and held on to Rasulullah's way, in the same way those people will run, they'll sprint to be ahead, because Rasulullah's nisbat and connection is the best. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, look, that one durood, the reward of one durood, of reciting the durood, that your name and your father's name is mentioned in the majlis of Rasulullah, imagine, and your height, your status goes so high, that one insan, how will he receive so much reward? And that's whenever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name is mentioned, with love recite the durood sharif. Whenever you hear the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recite durood with love and determination and passion, so you can feel the enjoyment of reciting that durood. And many of our pious elders have stated that when we recite the durood sharif, we feel so much enjoyment that we start to smell the fragrance of that durood sharif. The Durood Sharif is a great action, brothers, great. And Rasulullah is the greatest Nabi, the greatest, who came to teach us, and we should be fana in his love, in his being, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that to his companions, noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, I hear what you cannot hear, I see what you cannot see. And he said that I can see in the heavens, I can hear the creaking and the noises from the heavens. Just like, for example, if we walk on the, you know, the laminate flooring or the floorboards or the planks of wood in your house, and if they're not knocked into the floor properly, then you hear the creaking, the clattering of the wood. In the same way, Rasulullah SAW said, I could hear that clattering or the creaking of the heavens. And he said, why not? Because in the heavens just now, you don't know what's happening in the heavens, in the skies, and I can see what's happening in the skies. He said that even if there is no enough space, not even the space of the four widths, the four breadths of a fingers, the space, and there's so many angels, millions and billions of angels in the heavens, and what are they doing? They're doing the dhikr of Allah, they're immersed and busy in the dhikr of Allah, they are remembering Allah. There's not even the space, the width of four fingers in the heavens that's left empty without the angels being there. So when we sit in the evenings and the qandils and our lanterns of dhikr say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, what reward Allah has given to us. I was thinking last night that dhikr of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, Alhamdulillah, morning and evening. This is very unique, my friends. This is such an action that in history, only few people, few and far between, get this dhikr, the remembrance of Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allah's remembrance. What is Allah's hikmah? What is Allah's karam and mercy that He's given us these majalis, these gatherings? What does Allah Ta'ala want to give to the makhluk, the creation in the world? That's such a great and unique and a brilliant way Allah Ta'ala has given us this majalis and this dhikr of Allah, that for hours and the whole jamaat, mashallah, the congregation, with love and passion, it arrives to the dhikr of Allah, subhanallah. So I'll give you the example of dhikr now, how great is the action of dhikr of Allah's remembrance. That just like those ruh in the heavens, they wander around in their lanterns illuminated, and they illuminate the whole heaven, all the heavens, those ruh, when they travel in their lanterns, in their qandils. What are those qandils? What is in there? What are they? The form, physical, we don't know. But the example has been given, the pious elder say, that in the same way, in the evening when people are tired in the world, on planet Earth, they don't go anywhere else, to anything bad, to any bad gathering, because everything's in the world today. Attractions, evening time, shaitan. This is the time of shaitan. Night time, shaitan, attractions and sins, and we're tired and we start doing, and everywhere in the world you see people doing things, X, Y, Z. and different actions. But those ruh, those souls that Allah Ta'ala selected, they run to what? To Allah Ta'ala's qandils, to Allah Ta'ala's lanterns, the dhikr of Allah, the places of dhikr. And we cannot reach to the reality of what is this majlis, what is the reward that Allah Ta'ala is giving, what is the mercy, the barakat, the blessings that are coming here, what is the value, we can understand. Whatever we have to give, whatever we have to give up and make effort for this majlis to reach to the dhikr of Allah, it's not enough. It's not enough. We could give more and more, and even then it would not be enough. We have to understand the greatness of these majalis. So in the same way, on the earth, the ruh, the souls, they glitter and glow and shine and sparkle. Just like in the angels, they do dhikr of Allah. I've told you the amount that not even the space of four fingers is free from the angels. And they, those angels in the heavens, they look down, they say, what is this light that's coming from the earth? Just like we see from the earth, the moon, the stars, and the sun, and we say, oh, this is the moon on the 14th night, the full moon. We sat on the bank of the river, the light that's coming from the full moon. A beautiful scene. A great, great scene. And visibility. In the same way, those angels, they look from the heavens, they look down on the earth, the majalis where dhikr is being done, and they're amazed. Then they praise those human beings, alhamdulillah. And they say to Allah, Allah, now what is this qawm? Who are these people, these group of people in the darkness of the world? They are sat down. What are these lanterns that are sparkling and shining and glowing? That your the ruhs of these human beings, they've saved their nafs. They've saved themselves from the nafs, desires and shaitan and sins. And Allah, they sat in remembering you with no other intention except your remembrance. They have no desire except your name, your dhikr. Look at these women and these men. What kind of people are these? What in nur Allah you've instilled into the heart of dhikr? Why? Because the angels can see the world. The world is dark, it's barren, it's like a drought. For example, we sat here, this vast carpet. And if you see that little piece of paper or zarra in the carpet, you'll say that you'll ignore it. And the same way dhikr of Allah, this gathering is like a little piece of dust in this world. Do you think the whole world is doing dhikr? No, hardly anyone is doing dhikr. Who knows what is dhikr and who is doing dhikr? Remember, so my brothers, is very great good fortune for us. We're so lucky that Allah Ta'ala has given us a massive ni'mah, treasure. We are broken down, sinners, waste of time, activities we do, and we don't pay attention to Allah. This is Allah Ta'ala's fadl and karam and grace, that despite all our defects on our heads, we have the crown of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the taj, and in our hearts, we have the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What else do we need? We are human beings, we are bashar, we have desires and inclinations and attractions, but this is Allah's karam. Despite sinning, we still come back to the dhikr with the fadl of Allah. We still come back to the dhikr. Just like those ruh, those souls go to the qandil, to their lanterns, they get food and nourishment and reward. The same way the people in the world, the human beings, when they come to their qandils, to the majlis of the dhikr of Allah, to the gatherings of dhikr, that Allah Ta'ala has established. When the people, the human beings come to these gatherings, Allah Ta'ala does not send them back empty-handed. Their ruh, their souls are given direction and rewards and status, and elevated status, high, high road. The whole night when it passes with this beautiful condition. Aha. The person who's tired from the world and the impurities of the world are stuck to him, and the sins, Allah Ta'ala seats him in the majlis and the gathering of dhikr. Allah Ta'ala purifies him and cleans him, makes him park and opens his heart. And 30, 45 minutes, 1 hour, we sit down and we remember Allah. Allah Ta'ala fills our hearts with nur, our wujud, our bodies, our souls, to this extent that when a person goes back to his home, then when he goes to the world of his home, then he feels ajeeb and weird to speak to his children, his wife. That's why the pious elders have said a method that when you go to a special gathering, then don't go back straight immediately into the dunya. Rather, when, for example, you go home, you will have a home where you pray salah or remember, do dhikr, without speaking to anyone, go to that room and wind down, spiritually wind down, 30, 45 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, sit down on your own in isolation, seclusion, then slowly go back into the dunya, slowly interact with the dunya. Sometimes it happens that insan, he does dhikr and the feelings and emotions increase in his heart. Remember those five principles I said yesterday? If you do dhikr according to those five rules, then your feelings and emotions become very positive and enlightened and nice feeling. As I said, if you follow those five rules, any man, woman, any person, if we sit in the majalis with a Naqshbandi Shaykh, alhamdulillah, then Allah Ta'ala's fadl, if Allah Ta'ala's fadl was not with us, then our hearts would split, our souls would split. There's so much love and passion and strength Allah puts into that. But Allah Ta'ala also gives us the capability to persevere so that our hearts don't split. Just like something fills up and splits, in the same way our hearts fill up with the emotion and the love and the muhabbat. But Allah Ta'ala gives control. So straight away, if you go back to the world, it's like, for example, there's a fire that's enraging and you throw the water on the fire. You hear the sound when you're trying to extinguish the fire. So this is the way that if you leave the dhikr of Allah and go into the dunya, then it's a sudden big impact, and the person's mind is overwhelmed with the dunya, and he cannot understand how to, you can say, interact with the dunya after dhikr. So we have to wind down spiritually slowly and accustom ourselves to the environment we're in. So dhikr of Allah, when you do dhikr in a majlis, in a gathering where there's a ma'roof shaykh, a good shaykh, or a kamil shaykh, and due to the shaykh, then the jalal at the ends of dhikr, the nuraniyat stays, alhamdulillah. So you can say the sudden impact, it goes and the nur stays in the heart, because a person cannot recite the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't say, there's so much power and strength. But Hazrat Ali Murtaza, if you saw him, he was such a gentle and kind human being. I have not seen anyone like him. Cool and calm and gentle. And what was he teaching? He taught the dhikr of Allah, the ismi that, the personal name of Allah. So what I'm saying is the personal name of Allah has high impact, high force, that we can't withstand it. We can't withstand it. It creates high passion. And high passion and love. But the shaykh, his sohbet, calms that down, cools that down, so that the nur of the dhikr remains and the high impact doesn't stay. So Allah Ta'ala, He puts a person in love with the dhikr. We cannot understand what's in our wujud, in our body, in our soul. We don't even recognize our own self. So how can we realize the greatness of any prophet, of any wali of Allah, of any nabi, and then to understand and realize who was the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can never recognize his haqiqat, his true reality. Yeah? So what was Rasulullah? Let's take the example of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Hazrat Isa would make the people come back to life after death in the graves. Did he have magic? No. Allah Ta'ala gave him this strength that he used to just say the name of Allah, that, and this way the person who was dead, he'd become alive. This was a miracle that Allah Ta'ala had given to him, this force. And Darvesh said that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had given this capacity to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, would bring people to life after death. But our Nabi, the Nabi, the Ummatis of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, their kamal, their miracle is what? That such a Nabi, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and such Ummatis have come into the Ummah of Rasulullah, that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam made the people physically who were dead come to life. But this is fine. But the person, the people in the Ummah of Rasulullah, they teach the name of Allah and their hearts become alive, and to make the heart alive, because when the heart is dead and it's lifeless, then nobody can bring it to life and make it come back to life. It's very difficult. There's only one thing, Allah Ta'ala's name, that can make the dead heart come to life. So this, brothers, is a very great action, alhamdulillah, the great rahmah and mercy of Allah. We should come with desire and passion to the dhikr of Allah, with enjoyment, with the feeling, happy, put the fragrance on and sway to the dhikr of Allah. Allah, you're bringing us to such a gathering. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm myself present in that majlis. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So to do dhikr in abundance, we're doing in abundance, high quantity, morning, evening, whenever we feel like. This is something just brilliantly unique in this world at this moment in time, I tell you. And the history will bear witness and testify to this, that this was an ajeeb qaum, this group of people. Like, you know, we read stories of the pious predecessors. This was a wali of Allah, his group, Sarhan Sharif, this happened. As a Baqi Billah, when he used to do dhikr, this used to happen. History testifies to this, doesn't it? Inshallah, the generation will come after decades maybe, and it will testify to this. These gatherings and this generation where we were doing dhikr, where dhikr is being done, alhamdulillah, that you can take the high court. I'll give you an example now of how this dhikr has been shared and recognized, that the high court mentioned this dhikr, and the judge said himself that this dhikr that the sheikh does, give me the CD, I want to hear it myself. He had interest. These are recorded words, I'm sharing these with you. So one day he stated this, and says that just like that sheikh, he does the tasbih, show me how, demonstrate to me how he uses the tasbih. And the tasbih we do, it was demonstrated in the court, in the case. These are examples. This is unique. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, alhamdulillah. The whole dunya, people are listening. They are seeing, they are witnessing that what is the dhikr of Allah. And how, what people Allah Ta'ala selected, the tasbih is going, tuk-tuk, tuk-tuk, tuk-tuk. You know the tasbih that we do? You know, we have the tasbih with the big beads that I keep in the khanqah, it's not here. And the dhikr we do with the tasbih, just like you do, you know, you with the beads, that this is our usul, that we are taught this from our pious predecessors, that before Maraqba, the Hazrat Shaykh would do this tasbih. But here I have not started this, that we can't even absorb this dhikr, then how will we absorb the tasbih dhikr? They'll say that this is some new action, this is bidah innovation. Anyway, so this happens in the khanqah, alhamdulillah. If you see this, you see in the khanqah, you know there was a tasbih with the big beads. You saw it, isn't it? This is what I do with the tasbih. Yeah, we knock the tasbih before dhikr. So it's a very great thing, ni'mah of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, dhikr of Allah, to do dhikr in this way. So history testifies in this country, in the people, for example, they were against, but it went in our favor. He said, let me hear this tasbih as well. We want to hear the beads as well. We want to see. He's saying, the person who used to come, the person who came with a complaint, the complainant, he's saying, what is he saying? that whatever there is, but the Shaykh's voice was very melodious. The dhikr, his voice was so beautiful. He said this, isn't he? He said, how? He said, oh, it's very beautiful, his voice. And we used to become immersed and lost. We went like spies, but we were immersed and enjoyed the dhikr of Allah. Nice voice. We didn't know what he used to say, but it was a very sweet voice, melodious voice. So the judge says, is it? Oh, let me hear this. I want to hear this. Subhanallah. So this is, my brothers, the court. So this is the dhikr of Allah, my friends. The dhikr of Allah's remembrance, it makes you lost in the world, immersed in Allah Ta'ala's nearness and beauty of Allah Ta'ala's deen. So this is what we've been given. We've got the tawfiq. We're doing this dhikr. Are we not lucky? Are we not fortunate? Are we capable of this? You are, maybe, but I'm not. I'm a sinner. I'm useless. I'm ashamed that how I have sat down, how Allah Ta'ala has seated me in this gathering. Otherwise, how can we do this dhikr of Allah and recite the name of Allah? Great dhikr, great gathering. Anyway, let's do dua always to Allah. Allah, there's shaitan, there's nafs, there's the desires, there's deception. We live in the dunya, there are temptations. Many people, they've left dhikr. They came and they've left the gathering. They don't come again. They came for a few times. The poor souls, may Allah have mercy on them. How they've left and departed the gathering, I'm amazed. It's shocking. It's surprising that how people can leave the majlis of Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, that how Allah Ta'ala will be displeased with those people who have left the gathering. They've turned their face on the gathering. Do dua that Allah, please enlighten our hearts with your dhikr, and don't turn our hearts away from your dhikr. Don't give us adab. We are sinners. We are bone idol. Allah, with your fadl, until we die to the last day. Just like Rasulullah said, that when you die, then die with one action. Subhanallah, the dhikr of Allah. Look, Rasulullah has given us the direction that when you die, do one action at that time of death. While you're dying, what is the action? That recite the name of Allah at the time of death. Say the name of Allah. That is how great is the action of the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. Such a great action. So definitely do this dua, because we don't have the energy, we are weak, we are incapable, we have nafs, we have deception, we are attracted by the things. Summun bukmun umyun. We should do dawah, tell people, we should do dua to ourselves. Nobody listens, nobody hears, nobody wants to hear. Dhikr will explain that this is a good gathering, sit down morning and evening, do dhikr, but nobody listens, nobody wants to hear. Does anybody hear? This, only those people listen who Allah Ta'ala announces to them directly. It's a special selection of Allah, those people who come. But others don't understand. They don't understand in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has praised the dhikr of Allah. In the hadith, they don't understand Allah Ta'ala has praised the dhikr of Allah. The sahaba kiram, the events, they don't, from that we don't understand what is the greatness of dhikr of Allah. The whole dunya that is wrapped in the dhikr of Allah. The whole universe, the heavens, the planet earth. Subha lillahi ma fi samati wa ma fi Allah Ta'ala says, the whole of the creation, the universe is wrapped in what? My dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says. In the name of Allah. Allah says it's sealed in the envelope of the dhikr of Allah. The heavens, the earth, the creation, the whole universe, not just this solar system, the whole universe, all makhluk, every species is wrapped in one thing, the dhikr of Allah's remembrance. Allah says just do one action, one duty, remember me. This is what Allah, and me, you, we, spiders, ants, we're sat in this universe as well, and we should do dua that Allah give us the love and the muhabbat, that don't turn our hearts from the dhikr of Allah. Allah, don't turn our hearts away from the dhikr of Allah, because if the heart turns and it shuns, then we're nothing left except the skeleton. Till the death, Allah, we want to do your dhikr. So there are two things we should do continuous. Number one, that we should have be steadfast and regular in the majalis, the gatherings of dhikr. Because this is a principle, as I tell you, whether you accept or don't accept what I'm saying, whether you listen or don't listen to what I'm saying, but this is a fact that, for example, take the example, you've got a bathroom, your washroom, toilet, you put water, you open the taps and you don't close the tap, and the water spills onto the ground and it keeps on spilling onto the ground, and you're sat in the room underneath. Then what does happen? That the tap is open above in the bathroom and the water is falling onto the ground and it drips through and it drips into the room below where you are. You say, where's this come from? You run upstairs and the water, the drops of water, the splash of water on the ground, looking for the easy route, the cracks, is looking for the easy route towards escaping from that place. So in the same way, the shaitan and the nafs, they do the same thing within our souls and our bodies. The shaitan and nafs, our desires, base desires, look for a crack through which they can permeate and absorb and go through into our souls, into our lives. The shaitan and the nafs, and then they influence us, give us direction. So there are two asool here, two rules here, solid. Remember these rules. Shall I tell you, if I tell you, will you practice on this? Inshallah, there are two principles. Number one, that the majalis of the shaykh, the gatherings with the shaykh, be regular and steadfast in attending those gatherings. That's it. Then the attack of shaitan and nafs cannot affect us. That Allah Ta'ala says that the majalis that are here present, we don't have power, don't have the strength, the energy, we cannot come to dhikr ourselves, nor can the people of the masjid invite us themselves, nor do we have the power or the energy to sit down and remember the name of Allah. I tell you the truth, you were sat yesterday, today we are sitting again with that passion. I spoke for an hour before, today for an hour I'm speaking, and you're listening to my words. And I've I've not seen anyone else who's tired or bored. Alhamdulillah, I don't think you're tired or bored. So these majalis, these gatherings, they come from Allah. Allah Ta'ala makes them existent. And remember this majlis, don't think about leaving this gathering. Once you're here, don't think about departing with this istiqamat. Don't leave the majlis. If you got something, you have to do emergency in the world, fine. But don't leave the majlis for small excuses. Run to this gathering, to these majalis. Inshallah. Inshallah, what will happen? The shaitan, in no way possible can he put you off. He will not find the crack through which he can permeate and absorb himself into your life. He will run away. And only that person will run away from the dhikr gathering, who has left steadfastness consistently. We see that brother's away for a day, 2 days. Then I feel, my heart's sad. This person's left. He was coming, he was regular, then he's left. 1 day, he's not there, 2 days. So shaitan has influenced that person. So the first thing the shaitan does is take a person away from the majlis. He's broken the regularity of that person, the consistency of that person's actions. So the shaitan has found a crack. He's entered into the life of that person. The shaitan and nafs have found a way to influence that person. It doesn't matter what happens, whether you feel like it or not, you're tired, you're not feeling well, your body's not feeling well. It doesn't matter. Reach to the gathering, the majlis. Even if you're sat, you're tired, sit at the back and fall asleep. But come to the gathering, and until we pass away, we should be steadfast on this. I don't know how long me and you will be together. Allah knows best. We do dua to Allah that He keeps us together for a long time. I mean, it's a good thing, because if we're enjoying ourselves in the world from one thing, dhikr of Allah, there's only one thing that gives enjoyment of living in the world, that's dhikr of Allah. Otherwise, the world is a waste. It's a waste, it's bekar. That if Allah Ta'ala takes dhikr out of our lives in the morning, there's no dhikr in the evening. Those days that there's no dhikr majlis, tell me, doesn't it feel like we're empty, there's a void? It's like we're dead. Everything feels weird. The house, inside the house, it doesn't feel good, doesn't feel nice, isn't it? The days that we don't have the majlis, the gathering of dhikr. So we should, the ruh becomes used to dhikr, because this is the feed for the ruh, for the soul. It's the food, and you're taking the food and the feed for the ruh, and it's full. You're feeling heavy and waiting. You do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, keep on giving me the attendance to the majlis. So never allow the nafs and shaitan to enter into the crack, the void. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we can do amal on this, as long as we have istiqamah. We're regular and steadfast. We don't leave the majalis, and we sit down regularly and we listen. Inshallah, that whatever we are, however we are broken down, bone idle, but we will rise, inshallah, with the dhakireen. And there's no greater treasure than this, my friends. It's a great treasure of Allah. That even if we're weak on other things, in practice, in amal, alhamdulillah, we do ibadah, worship, Quran, prayer. Maybe we're weak on other things, but dhikr majlis, never leave it. Never leave the gathering of dhikr. Keep running to the majlis. And the people who listen, the same for them. The same enjoyment should come. The women folk and the men folk, wherever they are, listening at this moment in time, they get the same reward. One, the reward, if it reaches to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me, then will this dhikr not reach there? That those people who are sat far from us, the dhakireen who are doing dhikr with us in this majlis, will their dhikr and the ruud not reach to Allah? SubhanAllah. So this technology is there, and we have buildings in front of us and the gap and the distance, but dhikr of Allah, we are joined in the same with ease and sit with regularity, be consistent and steadfast, listen to dhikr, recite the dhikr, and after that you're free. Sleep and rest and relax. Okay? Inshallah, may Allah give us the tawfiq. Ameen.